All right, we're going to finish up our study this evening. For the past several weeks, we have been looking at, you remember, the fruit of the Spirit. And we have to begin this evening by understanding that most people, if we're truly honest with ourselves, most people are experts at being hypocrites. Have you ever noticed that? Most people are experts at putting on a mask and pretending that everything is wonderful and everything is great when really everything is not, right? We know how to do that, and we're all good at it, right? Husband and wife, you know, they fight all the way to church, and then they walk in the church. Oh, hi, how are you? How are you? Oh, everything's wonderful, you know. And we're hypocrites, okay? Basically, that's what it is. But Jesus said that we can determine a person's true spiritual condition. We can determine what the true spiritual condition is, and the key is found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 20. Matthew chapter 7 verse 20 says, "Wherefore, by their fruits you will know them." In other words, there are evidences in our lives that will always reveal, regardless of what we may say with our mouth, there are evidences that will be seen in our life that's going to reveal the reality of where we stand with God and what our relationship with God may be. In fact, the Bible says in some 67 times in the New Testament, it talks about fruit. And as you go through the Bible, you'll find that there are basically, in the Bible, there are three kinds of fruit that are mentioned. First of all, there are some verses that talk about, we could call it natural fruit. In other words, this would be fruit like figs or grapes, or something that naturally grows on a bush, and it is a natural fruit that men have. Not only do we find natural fruit, but also in the Bible we find the word is used talking about, we could call it biological fruit. In other words, talking about your physical children. That's biological fruit. And then there's also what we would call spiritual fruit. And it's that spiritual fruit that Jesus was talking about in John chapter 15, verse 8, when he said this. He said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." And of course, as we saw earlier in this study, there are actually two kinds of spiritual fruit that a person may have in their life, and two kinds of spiritual fruit that are included in this statement by the Lord Jesus. And you remember we saw, first of all, there is the fruit of souls. That is, as we win people to Christ, we are bearing spiritual fruit, okay? It's called the fruit of soul winning. And so as we win people to Christ. But not only is there the fruit of soul winning, but there's also the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we've been looking at over the past 9 weeks. You remember we have seen that it is not the fruits, plural, it's not fruits of the Spirit, but it is the fruit, singular, and that fruit is manifested to us in 9 different ways. In other words, there's 9 different characteristics of that fruit. When that fruit is growing and it's being produced in our life, it's going to be seen in 9 different ways. And so we went over the 9 qualities that are going to be found in the life of the person in whom the Holy Spirit is producing His fruit. And we've gone over that for the past 9 weeks. Now, for the Christian, the productive life, the life that glorifies God, the life that is producing that fruit and the manifestation of that fruit is being seen in their daily life, is going to be a life that is totally controlled by the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be a life that is always seeking to win others to Jesus Christ. Now, as we bring this to a close, I want us to notice four conditions. There are four conditions that the Bible says need to be met in order for a life to be productive and in order for our life to be fruitful for the Lord. There's some conditions. A few weeks ago, Ginger and I ordered some blueberry bushes to have planted at our house in the States, and so we ordered the bushes and all of that. And with those bushes there came instructions. I hope Benjamin followed the instructions. But anyway, there came instructions. Where to plant them, how to plant them, when to plant, how much space to put between them. All of these things. Why? Because if you don't follow the instructions, you're not going to be fruitful. See? If you want to get the maximum harvest, then you have to follow the instructions. And God has given some instructions in His Word that we need to follow if we're going to have a productive life. And so that's what I want us to see together this evening. Notice number one. If we're going to have a life that is productive, then number one, we must cultivate roots. We must cultivate roots. I have read about a cactus. It's called the saguaro cactus. I think I'm pronouncing it right. But the saguaro cactus grows in the desert there in Arizona. And it survives temperatures of up to 55 degrees Celsius every day. And it survives even though there's very little rain. It is a desert after all. So there's very little rain. But not only does that cactus survive that constant heat with very little water, it's a plant that also produces fruit. It produces fruit. For 2 weeks each year, this cactus will produce a fruit that may be harvested. And that fruit has been called by various names. It's called Gems of the Desert. That's one name that's given to it. It's also called the Rubies of the Sand. It's also called the Gifts of the Dunes. And then there's people like me, we just call it fruit. Okay, but that's what this fruit is called. Indigenous tribes of American Indians used to harvest the fruit and found that it is incredibly potent and that it is an excellent source of properties that have medicinal values. And so they would harvest this fruit. They would use it for medicine. And surprisingly, it is not like Chinese medicine. It actually tastes good. Okay? Just thought I'd mention that. But here's the thing. The reason why this cactus is able to thrive and the reason why it's able to produce fruit in such a harsh environment is simply because of the fact that it has an unbelievable root system. In fact, it has a root system that reaches out some 20 meters in every direction. In other words, roots are going everywhere, you see. The root system is what makes the cactus to be productive. Now, all of us have times of harsh heat in our life, don't we? You ever been through some hot times? Times of trouble, times of difficulty. Most of us can handle a day or two of hard times without too much difficulty. But what happens when that difficulty, that time of physical, emotional, mental pressure, heat, what happens when that drags on for week after week, month after month, year after year? What happens to us in times like that? Well, the fact is, if you don't have a good root system, you're not going to survive. If you don't have a good root system, you're going to shrivel up and you're going to die spiritually. spiritually speaking, right? Spiritually speaking, we have to have a good root system, or we will never be able to produce the spiritual fruit in our life that God desires for us to produce. So here's the question. How do we cultivate a good root system? How do we cultivate that? Well, I want you to notice two things. Letter A, the source. The source. The Bible says in Psalm 1, and many of you probably already have this memorized, but in Psalm 1, verse 2 and verse number 3, the Bible is talking about the blessed man. You remember, verse 1 tells us. But in verse 2, here's what he says about this blessed man, or the man who is truly happy. Here's what it says. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, what's the result of that? Well, notice it in verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it's going to prosper. It's going to prosper. You see, we develop a strong spiritual root system by simply filling our hearts and minds with the Word of God. That's where the root system comes from. That's where the root comes that is going to make us to be productive as we ought to be in our spiritual life. And we will never really be fruitful for God as we ought to be if we are ignoring the Word of God in our life, you see. Because this is the source right here. This is the source. Now, let me remind you, the Apostle Paul, he mentioned this same principle in Romans 11, verse 16. Here's what he said. He said, if the root be holy, okay? If the root is holy, guess what the branches are? They're holy too, right? Yeah. If the roots be holy, so are the branches. So are the branches. In other words, the only way that you and I are going to have a holy life that is producing holy fruit and is pleasing to a holy God is by sinking the roots of faith deep down into the Word of God. That's the only way we're going to have the root system that is going to sustain us in difficult times. But, that's not enough. Because number two, or letter B, I want you to consider the secret. I want you to consider the secret. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Those of you who've been in Sunday school over the past couple of weeks, you ought to be familiar with this verse because we've kind of been focusing on this. But here's what it says. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Notice it. Rooted. You see that? So walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In other words, here's the thing that I want you to notice. It's a wonderful thing to sink the root of faith deep into the Word of God, but that will do you absolutely no good if you do not obey what you read. If you are not obeying what God's Word says, then believing God's Word is not going to help you. It's not by believing what the Bible says or knowing what the Bible says. That's not the important part. Remember what Jesus said? He said, if you know these things, happy are ye. All right? No, that's not what he said. Happiness doesn't come from knowing what the Bible says. Fruitfulness does not come from knowing what the Bible says. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You see, the obedience is what brings the blessing. The obedience is what brings the fruitfulness into our life. And so we have to cultivate a good root system that is sunk deep into the Word of God, but not simply believing God's Word with a head knowledge, but believing God's Word to the extent that we actually do what it says. We walk in obedience to that. That's when you are truly rooted. Okay? That's when you're truly rooted. Now, I want you to notice a second thing. Not only do we need to cultivate roots, but number two, we must eliminate weeds. We must eliminate weeds. Remember one time when I was a kid, I was going to have a garden. I was quite ambitious. And so I tore up some ground, and I got some tomato plants, and I got some carrots, and I got some green beans, and got some other seeds and all of that, and I planted those things, and I had the most beautiful crop of weeds you ever saw. I tell you what, it's a lot of hard work. Right? It's a lot of hard work to have a garden. Because those weeds are always popping up. Weeds are always popping up. In fact, you remember in the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower, Jesus described basically three types of Christians. He talked about the phony Christian. And then he talked about a carnal Christian. And then he talked about a fruitful Christian. And it's this second kind of Christian that I want us to notice as we consider part of the parable in Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, verse number 22, here's what it says. It says, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word." Okay? So here's a person, he's receptive to the Word of God. He's listening to the Word of God. But then notice what happens. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Word. It chokes the Word, and he becometh what? Unfruitful. Why? Weeds choked him out. The weeds of the world choked out what God was trying to do in his life, you see. And so the weeds stopped the fruit that God desired from being produced. Now I want you to notice that the problem with the carnal Christian is that the Word of God was simply being stifled. It was being, he's saved, he received the Word. He received the Word. He heard the Word. In fact, the Bible even seems to imply that he began to bear some fruit in his life. But after a while, God's Word got choked out when this person turned their eyes away and began to look at the things of the world. The deceitfulness of riches, the cares of the world, became so prevalent in their life that God's Word was no longer their focus. God's Word was no longer their focus. And so the result was, the one who was fruitful in the beginning, did you notice what it says? He becometh unfruitful. Say, used to be, but not now. He becometh unfruitful. Now, what are the weeds that we need to eliminate? Well, Jesus defined them for us. Let's look at them for just a moment. Letter A, the cares of the world. That's the first one that he mentioned. The cares of the world. Sadly, most Christians are more concerned with the things of the world than they are with the things of God. They're more concerned with what this world has to offer than they are with doing what God wants them to do. And the way we know that, is when we look at the priorities that they have in life. I always tremble when I hear a person who claims to know the Lord as their Savior, and they talk about serving God with terms like this, "Well, I'll be involved if I don't have something more important to do." What could be more important in the life of a Christian than serving God? And if that's the attitude that we have, then it's a very clear indication that the weeds of the world have dominated our life, and that it is totally choked off what the Word of God is seeking to produce in our life. It's all revealed by the priorities that we have. We need to understand the old saying that there are many things in life that are not necessarily wrong, they're just not necessary. Look in your own life, right? You got things in your life, they're not wrong, they're not sinful, they're just not necessary. And they take up a lot of your time, they take up a lot of your energy, time and energy that could be spent in spiritual things, and yet you're wasting that time and energy and things that really, in the view of eternity, they don't even matter. They're not necessary. Priorities, folks. Priorities. And that's certainly true in the life of a Christian. The number one priority in the life of a child of God ought to be, it ought to be, serving God. Number one priority in the child of God ought to be doing God's will. What does God want me to do? And anything that we care about, more than we care about the things of God, and anything that takes precedent in our life over the will of God, that's a weed that needs to be chopped up, taken out of the garden of your life, so that you might be the fruitful Christian that God wants you to be. Not only does he talk about the cares of the world, he also talks about, letter B, the deceitfulness of riches. Some people are so concerned about making money. I know money is very important. It's not the most important thing, but it's above whatever comes second. You think about that for a minute. You'll get it tomorrow, okay? But money's not the most important thing. Now, I realize that money is an important thing, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. A lot of times we get our focus so on money and the deceitfulness of it all. See, we begin to get the attitude, just like the world has, that if I get enough money, then I'm going to be happy. And yet you look at the majority of people who are very rich, right? Are they happy? Most of them are miserable. You know why? Because money never brings riches. I mean, money never brings happiness. Riches never bring joy. They say they will, but it's deceitful, see? It's lying to you. And the truth of the matter is, money is never going to bring satisfaction. That's why Rockefeller, many years ago, old man Rockefeller, who was in his day, he was one of the richest men in the world, if not the richest. And somebody asked him one day, said, "Mr. Rockefeller, how much do you have when you say that's enough? I got enough." You know what his answer was? One more dollar. One more. You know why? Deceitfulness of riches. Never satisfies. Never satisfies. And if we get caught up in this materialistic rat race that we're living in, it's going to choke the Word of God in your life, and it's going to make you to become unfruitful. The deceitfulness of riches. We need to be very careful about that. It's a very important thing that we need to understand about weeds. Okay? Very important thing. Here it is. You don't need to cultivate weeds. I planted my garden. I planted all those vegetables I told you about. I did not plant a single weed seed. And yet I got weeds all over the place. You don't have to cultivate weeds. Here's the point. Weeds will grow by themselves. All you have to do is just neglect the garden. See? Just neglect it. Just be satisfied to let it go. Just be satisfied not to take charge of cleaning those things out of your life. Just neglect. You'll have a bumper crop of weeds in your life. You'll have a bumper crop. Weeds are a sign of neglect. And when a person has weeds in their life, the spiritual things that are being choked out by the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, when those weeds are beginning to take control in a person's life, it's simply a sign that that person has been neglecting some things. He's been neglecting the house of God. He's been neglecting the Word of God. He's been neglecting talking to God in prayer, you see. Those things neglected, I'll guarantee you, you're going to have weeds. And so we need to eliminate the weeds. We need to eliminate the weeds. If we're going to be productive, if we're going to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must cultivate good roots and we must eliminate the weeds in our life. There's a third thing. We must be pruned. We must be pruned. In John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus is speaking in verse 1 and verse 2. Here's what He said. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it." That is, He prunes it. Why? Notice it. "That it may bring forth more fruit." That it may bring forth more fruit. Now, when we think of pruning, we think of cutting off dead limbs. We think of cutting off, in North Carolina, they call them suckers. Those are things that attach themselves. They're like a parasite. And they attach themselves to a plant. And they suck all the energy. They suck all of the strength of the plant away from the leaves, away from the crop that you desire. And so it's not able to produce the fruit it should, because it's got all these suckers attached to it that are robbing it of the strength that it ought to have. And so when we talk about pruning, we're talking about cutting away those things that would hinder us from being fruitful. That's why a professional gardener will many times tell you that when it comes to pruning, most people are way too timid. They're way too timid. One time when we were in Korea, Ginger's grandfather came to visit us from the farm in North Carolina. Okay? And we had some rose bushes in front of our house, and Grandpa came and he took a look at them, and they were, I have to admit, they were in pretty bad shape. And so Grandpa said, those bushes need pruning. And he said, "I'll do it for you." I said, "Okay, have at it." I mean, I've seen him make stuff grow, so go for it, you know. And so he got him some shears, and he went out there. And a little while later, he came back in the house, and I looked out the window, and I thought, "Lord, have mercy, he has murdered our rose bushes." I mean, them things look like a stick sticking out of the ground. I mean, that was it. I mean, there it was, and it was just a stick. But I remember thinking to myself, "They're dead. We'll have a Christian funeral tomorrow. They're gone, you know. They'll never produce anything." He had a good heart, but that old man doesn't know anything about roses. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. But to our surprise, you know what? They didn't die. In fact, they blossomed. And the next year, we had some of the biggest, most beautiful roses you ever laid your eyes on, see? Now, had I done the pruning, I would have been way too timid, see? I'd have been way too timid. I'd be afraid, well, I don't want to cut too much, you know. I don't want to hear that bush go, "Ouch," you know. I don't want to hear that. And you know what? When it comes to pruning our life, we're way too timid. That's why we have to let Him do the pruning. That's why we have to let Him take charge of doing that. God is the master husbandman, And he knows exactly what he's doing. Certainly he does cut off the dead limbs. And he does cut off the leaves. But you know what? Sometimes he'll cut off good stuff. Sometimes he'll cut off good stuff. In other words, God may cut away things, and he may cut away relationships that really, in themselves, they're not bad. He may cut off some things that in themselves, really, they're not sinful. And yet God cuts them away because they are things which will hinder us from being as fruitful as we ought to be for God. And when we let him work in our life, he's going to cut. He's going to cut. And cutting, just by the nature of it, is never pleasant. But it's always beneficial. It's always beneficial because it makes us to be more fruitful. Makes us to be more fruitful. So when God begins to cut, when God begins to prune things in our lives, let's be careful that we not begin to rebel. That is, we begin to pull away from God. Let's be sure that we don't begin to complain and murmur against God as though he's doing some great evil thing to us. And let's be careful that we not become filled with a bitterness that causes us to think ill of God because of the problem and the pain that he's brought into our life as he cuts away these things that we have grown so attached to, you see. If we're going to be productive, fruitful, we have to have good roots. We have to eliminate the weeds. We have to cooperate with God's pruning. And then there's a fourth thing. Let's look at it very carefully. We need to be patient. We need to be patient. In John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." It abideth alone. "But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Bringeth forth much fruit. Now I want you to notice three things very quickly we find in this verse. First of all, letter A, we find dead seeds. Dead seeds. If you ever buy seeds, do they sell seeds in Singapore? Where do you plant them? No, I'm just kidding. If you buy a pack of seeds and open them up, you know what the first thing you'll notice about seeds are? All of them are dried and shriveled up. Have you ever noticed that? They're all dried up. They're all shriveled up. You know what that means? They're dead. They're dead. And in our spiritual lives, we must die. We must die to selfish desires. We have to die to selfish ambitions. We have to die to selfish lust before we can produce spiritual fruit. The seed has to die. It has to die. But that's not all. Notice letter B. Jesus also mentioned sown seeds. Sown seeds. A seed may be, it may be good and dead. Okay? It may be good and dead. But here's the thing. Even though it's dead, it's never going to produce fruit until it's planted. Right? It has to be sown. It has to be planted in the soil. I read that back in 1968, a scientist found a 600-year-old, what they called a seed necklace. It was in the grave, been buried with an American Indian there, and they found this seed necklace, and so they, just out of curiosity, they took one of the seeds off that necklace, they put it in some dirt, they watered it, and guess what? After 600 years of lying dormant, that seed sprouted. That seed sprouted. You see, we have to die to self. We have to die to self, and we have to put our lives under the control of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, that's when we're going to begin to be, letter C, a producing seed. A producing seed. And it's here where many Christians fail. Many Christians they're willing to die to themselves, they're willing to submit their lives to the Holy Spirit, but because they do not see instant results, you know. I've had people tell me, you know, Pastor, I really want to have victory in my life, and I really want God to have control of my life, you know. And boy, I prayed one time, and you know, nothing happened. I'm still having the same problems I had before. Well, how many of you ever planted a seed and went out like I did when I planted my little garden? You know, I worked hard all day getting that soil ready and planting those seeds, and I even sprayed some water on it with the water hose. And as soon as I got out of bed the next morning, I went running out there. I expected to see something growing. I was sadly disappointed. You know why? It takes patience to produce fruit, doesn't it? It takes patience to produce fruit. And so many times we get in a hurry. But I want to remind you of something. God always does things right. And He never gets in a hurry to do it. He always does things right. You heard the old saying, haste makes what? Waste. See, God doesn't get in a hurry. Therefore, whatever He does, He does it right. He does it right. And here's the thing. God desires for us to produce much fruit. That's His desire. But I want you to understand that God will never compromise quality for quality. Quantity. That's the word I'm looking for. He will never sacrifice quality for quantity, you see. Never will. And as we faithfully do what is right, God will faithfully be working in our lives and will be able to bring forth fruit that honors and glorifies Him. Now, it's God's will that all of us, as His children, if you're saved tonight, it's God's will that all of us have a life that is productive. It's God's will that all of us have a life that is fruitful. And in order to do that, we're going to have to follow these four very important points that we've seen tonight. We need to cultivate roots. We need to get into the Word of God. And we need to eliminate the weeds. We need to get rid of those things in our life that are hindering our relationship with God and our relationship with the Word of God. We need to weed those things out of our life. And then we need to get pruned. We need to allow God to perform His surgery on us and to cut away those things that are hindering us from being what we ought to be. And then we need to be patient. We need to understand and we need to realize that the Christian life is a growing process and it takes time. It's a growing process and it takes time. But you know what? If we'd be willing to do all of these things, you'll find that the fruit, you'll find the reward is well worth the wait. The reward is well worth the wait. May God help each one of us tonight to bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father by living lives that are truly productive, living lives that are truly fruitful. By that I mean, let me say it again, by that I mean lives that are producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And as that fruit of the Holy Spirit is produced in our life, that through that we will then be able to be producing souls for our Savior. See?